On behalf of the church family here at Leander, we'd like to express a very happy holiday season to each and every one of you. I know that a lot of our church family are out traveling and visiting different locations. We pray for their safe return, and we may have some visitors visiting with family here today. And to you, we give a warm welcome. This is a holiday time. Christmas is now past. New Year's is just a few days away. And that's the time of the year when we stop and we think about what we called New Year's resolutions. We think about the future. And in thinking about the future, we also then think about the past. And so I thought it would be appropriate today to bring a message from God about our life in the past, in the present, and the future. And in thinking about this, I thought about an example of this toy. This is a toy that probably most of you are familiar with. It's been around forever and ever. It's a simple toy that has inside of this box is a number of different shapes and sizes and colors, all types. And then on the top of the toy is the lid with the same shapes that match the shapes on the pieces. And of course, the object of the toy is my wife, being a school teacher, has taught my son, my daughter, my grandchildren how to designate and learn shapes and where they go. And I was watching not long ago my youngest grandson with this particular toy, taking the star, and he'd try the square and it wouldn't fit, and try one of the others and wouldn't fit, and finally he learned where it went, that it had a unique place. That reminded me of Genesis chapter 1. And you may wrinkle and think, do what? Ed, why would that remind you of Genesis chapter 1? Well, I want to go back to the very beginning as we talk about the beginning of our journey. And as you open your scriptures and you read, in the beginning of time, there was nothing. It was dark and void. And God appeared. And God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And what did God say when he looked down and saw the light? It's good. Then he continued with verse 9, the waters below the heaven gathered in the place in the dry land, and he separated the land and the waters. And as he looked down, what did God say? It's good. And then he continued all the way down in verse 18, and he separated the lights, the greater light by day and the light by night. It's good. He continues in verse 21, and God created the great fish that dwelled and all of the creatures that move in the waters. And God said, it's good. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And then God made the beast of the earth after their kind. And when God looked down, you guessed it. God said, it's good. And God then looked down and said, let's create man. Let's create man differently from the beast, from the fish, from all of the others. Let's create man in our image. And he created them. And behold, he gave the man every plant yielding to eat of the surface. And God, and I want you to think about this just a moment. All of this that God had created was so good. And then he said, man, it's for you. And God saw what he made, and behold, it was very good. In the beginning of time, everything was so good. Man was unique, and he had all of the wonderful world to dwell on, but yet God saw that there's something missing. And so, God said, let's make a companion. A companion that's unique. That's not like Noah. A companion that would be where? By Noah's side. And they would live in this wonderful garden forever. Because in that garden was the tree of life. And there was Adam and Eve, uniquely different, but yet created by God to work together in paradise. And the Bible says they were even naked and had no shame. Now, the serpent, the beast of the field, comes along. I wished in my heart that Genesis 3 wasn't even there. I wish that we would have continued having Adam and Eve live in paradise. But they didn't. Because the serpent came along, and we find out something very unique about the way God made Adam and Eve. Because God made Adam and Eve and told them, now, Adam and Eve, I've given you every single thing so good for you. And you can eat and enjoy, And the scripture says that even God walked with them in the evenings in that garden. But God said, but there's one tree. Stay away from it. It's a tree that I'll say is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And he said, don't eat of that tree. Now, think of the situation. Everything that God had created was so good, and Adam and Eve were just good. But now the serpent comes along in chapter 3. And he said to the woman, indeed, God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman, the serpent, said, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we can eat. Eve knew what God said. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, you shall not eat or touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said, you shall not die. Right there, we see the beginning of our enemy. The serpent, the devil. I want you to think for just a minute from Genesis to Revelation. When it talks about the devil, how's the devil described? Right here, he's a liar. It describes him as a deceiver. He is described by Peter like a roaring lion, just looking for people to devour. And Peter says, watch out for him. Watch out for him. But, and as we look, did the serpent grab Eve, throw her on the ground, grab the fruit, got her by the jaw and stuck it in her mouth and made her eat it? Is that what the Bible says happened? No, of course not. The first thing the devil said, look at it. Devil's deceiving. Look at it. That's the way he works on us. With our sins, he finds our weaknesses. And he says, look. He tempts. He's a deceiver. I'm thinking of a young king of Israel. One afternoon, his day was over and he went up on his rooftop and he was walking around, and over there was a woman taking a bath. David, look at her. Now, he could have turned just like Eve could have said, no, Satan, I will not eat. But God created mankind with the ability of choice, with the ability to choose right and wrong. Eve could have chosen right and just said, no, I'm going to go over here with my husband and we're going to eat from this other fruit. King David could have said, Satan, quit deceiving me. I will not look at that woman. But what did the devil convince the king? I can see his mind. I'm the king. I can have any woman I want. Oh, she's married? Oh, but her husband serves in my army. I'll take her. And he did. He committed adultery because the deceiver, the liar, that rascal of old was there tempting him, and he gave in. Not only did he commit adultery in order to try to cover up his adulterous sin, he committed murder. He sent her husband to battle and told the men, when you get into battle, back away and let him be slain. And of course, she became with child and we'll continue the rest of the story in a moment. But we go back and we look. A few minutes ago, David had just to look around. And as you looked around, what did you notice? I hope that you noticed what I'm looking at now, all kinds of people. I see some like this. I see some like this. And I see some like this. I see some who just began their journey in this life this year. And then I see some who've been on their journey for many, many, many years. But who created us all? God. And God created all of us different. And we are all good. We're not just good, we're very good. In our differences, we are ever, ever so good. But do you know what the devil does? He did it in the first century. The devil said, look at that person over there. They can speak in tongues. You can't. You've only got so little talents. You should not feel good about yourself. On and on. But one of the lessons today that I want you to take out as you begin the new year, yes, you're different. And that's good. Yes, you're not like anybody else in here. But that's good. You have a purpose. You fit in a certain hole that God put you here for. I think of Clara Brown. Sweet, sweet Christian lady in Snyder, Texas. She was a very quiet, timid, shy woman. She would come in the side door and she would sit right there. Her legs were too short to touch the floor, and so Sister Brown had taken a couple of bricks and crocheted a covering on those bricks. And they stayed right there under that pew. pew, Sister Brown would quietly come in. She didn't greet. She didn't meet. She was a person God made her unique. God gave her her own special gifts, her own special place. She would come in. She would worship God quietly with her hands folded. At the end of the service, Sister Brown would get up and walk out the side door. Do you know why I remember Clara Brown? Not only do I remember Clara Brown, but so many, many, many people in Scurry County remember that godly Christian woman because she knew how to cook meatloaf. And every funeral that she had heard about in the community, not just church people, she read the articles the funeral directors knew when they had someone to die, to call Clara Brown. And Clara would make a meatloaf. She would go to the person's house. I'm sorry for your loss. God loves you. And she would hand the meatloaf, smile, turn around, and walk away. I get tears almost thinking about Sister Brown. My wife and I are new here with our church family. And shortly after we came, there was a young woman who came down and she wanted to be baptized. And so she went. I didn't know all of this back here, but I just saw her and some men and the women went back around there. And she came up over here in the baptistry. And the men ask her, Cher, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That He died for you and you will have your sins forgiven? To this day, I will never forget her response. She smiled and said, absolutely. And that woman has been an inspiration in my life every time I see her. Now, she has a journey. And those of you who know her, she has a battle just to breathe. She's got all kinds of struggles. But when I see her, I don't see doom and gloom, despair. I see a smile. And I told her this week, I said, I hope you come to service today because you give me strength. And she does. That's what we're talking about. Every single one of us have our gifts. God doesn't want you to get up here and to be the preacher. That's Nathan's gift. Or you may not be a Bible teacher. But you may be a Clara Brown and can cook meatloaf. That's what God wants. That's what it's all about. And if we do what God wants us to do, we know that someday our journey is going to end. When? I don't know. David said that the end of our journey is like the grass of the fields or the flowers. They're just here for a short time, and then they're gone. Psalms 103. David in Psalms 90 said, teach us to number our days. Now, I want you to think about the person who just wrote that scripture. Think back a minute ago when I said he and Bathsheba were with child. Do you remember what happened? The child was sick. David put on sackcloth. He took ashes and wiped on his face, wiped on his body. He wailed. He mourned. What happened? The child died. The child's journey came to an end. David got up, washed his face, put on the king's clothes, and his servant said, David, we don't understand. And do you remember what David said? He said, while the child still had life, I would pray to God to extend it. But he said, now my child has passed on from this life. And then David said, I just got to live to where I can go be with him again. This last week, a young college student at Texas A&M, he had worked hard getting through his high school to get grades to be admitted to A&M. My next door neighbor was in the same class. His name was Chance Gibson. Chance was going to go home to be with family for Christmas. There was a car wreck. Chance did not make it home, not to his earthly home. God helps us be careful when you say, tomorrow I'm going to do this and this and this. Tomorrow I'm going to do all of this wonderful stuff. But what did the writer say? We don't know what tomorrow may bring. I was a combat marine in a country called Vietnam, 1968. That one year, there were 17,000 U.S. military killed in that action in one year. There is a memorial. A memorial wall. I've never been there. I never will. I don't need to see the names of my friends on a marble wall. I was there with them 18 years old. There was Pete, a gunner. There was Harrington, my radio operator. There was Grundy, an ammo humper. Never made it back. Some of my fellow Marines helped me put their bodies in body bags, and they were extracted to Da Nang, where they were placed in wood coffins covered with a flag and sent home to their families. 17,000 in 1 year alone. The majority in my unit were 18 years old. Full of life, full of hope, full of dreams for the future. It never happened. Sometimes the holidays are hard for me, and my wife will come out and I'll be sitting on the patio with a cup of coffee, and she can see it in my eyes. She said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And I just said, "I'm just thinking of my buddies who never celebrated Christmas again." We think about that, but here's the message. Because God, who is good, God who is very good, He sent His Son to this world so that when our journey comes to an end, do you know what the Son, Jesus Christ, told us? Peace. Peace I give to you. Not the peace that the world tries to give to you. He said, "I give you my peace." He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And Jesus said, "I'm going to go." And then He said, "But I am going to prepare a place for you." You see, there's a shingle in heaven that's got my name on it. And I praise Jesus Christ for writing my name with His blood on my dwelling place for eternity. And it's there for you too. Let's stand and sing.